Volume. Is that it now? Is that working? Yep. Okay. I'm not used to standing in this thing yet, so it's a bit... I see through the holes and I'm distracted by the floor. It'll do. Okay, well look, I'm going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word, that you would open our ears to hear your voice, and open our hearts, Lord God, to obey what it is that you're saying to us, please. We thank you for your living and active word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who sheds light upon your word and our understanding of it, Lord. And we just pray today, Father, that you would be glorified in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I really enjoyed Keith's talk last week from Isaiah 52. And we said it in our declaration, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Anybody sees my feet, they're not beautiful. And you know, and I one of my foster sons can't stand people's feet. Hates the thought of looking up. He actually dropped a girlfriend because she had bigger feet than him. He just can't stand feet, full stop. And yet Isaiah speaks here about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, especially in Keith's line, which I thought was wonderful, when he said, if you're going to die, die with your boots on. If you're going to die, die with your boots on. Now, you've got to understand the concept of what he's saying, and our context of what he's saying here is, in the trenches in the war, you know, men's soldiers were stuck in the trenches, and they were up to their necks, or as they say in Northern Ireland, up their uxters and crap and everything. And they were walking through, and there was blood and guts and everything all over the place, and their boots, you know, were just clogged down with all of the muck. And sometimes they would try to get the boots off and pour out all the gunk and try to get them back on again. And the whole saying is if you're going to die in the trenches, you're going to die. Look, die with your boots on. Die with your boots on. But that was very, very good point to make about what Isaiah was saying about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I'll show you that in a moment. Because in our Approaching God series, we've been looking at how God first approached us through Jesus. By Jesus' death and resurrection, he opened the way for us to approach God. And now, having access to God's presence, we can fulfill the great commission of Jesus to go into the world and make disciples. So if you remember, it was Jesus said to his disciples on the hillside in Galilee, or wherever it was that he was at the time, he said, you go with all of my authority. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. You go with my authority into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have the promise that I will be with you always whenever you're going in there. Go and make disciples. And in that sense, he was saying nearly like running into the world, these beautiful feet that were carrying the good news. In other words, we can approach others. This is what the Lord is saying. We can approach others in the authority of the Lord and tell them the good news of salvation. And so I believe that the beautiful feet that bring good news, which Isaiah declares, speaks of all Christians. There are no exceptions here. All Christians, and I'm not asking anybody to take off your shoes and socks and show me their corns. What I'm saying is all Christians have beautiful feet. I had to go and visit an elderly person during the week. And when I walked in, there was, they're called podiatrists these days. They're not called chiropodists or anymore. That was a made-up name. But there was a podiatrist there, you know, doing her feet. And I thought, oh, dear. And I said, I'll just go out and make an important call. Sit 10 or 15 minutes later. Because I don't want to see people's corns and whatever else. And trust me, they didn't look like they were beautiful feet. But the Bible says that we who have the good news of salvation have beautiful feet. Now, and that doesn't mean, again, that I want some looper to suddenly feel the Spirit of God saying that we should all take off our shoes and socks and they're going to wash our feet, because I ain't doing it. And I have a hole definitely in my sock today. So, but every Christian has good news to proclaim, to herald, and to tell forth. However, the problem for many Christians, not all, but the problem for many Christians is twofold, and you might be able to relate to this. There are those who know that they have good news to tell, but they don't want to get their boots dirty. And that's so important. You see, we as Christians are told to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. But we see the nice shiny boots that we have been given when we're new Christians. And some of us don't want to get our boots dirty. The second side of it is the boots that some Christians wear are so clogged with the muck of the world, the filth and the stench of the war trenches in which we serve, that they struggle to make actually any headway whatsoever. In a sense, they're bogged down in the trenches. What should actually be a delight for us? And I was praying this morning, you know, I was saying, I remember whenever Chris Barr was alive years ago, and we used to be out at all hours of the night into the early hours of the morning, walking about the streets, telling people about Jesus, and we used to love it. And Chris used to have this grin on his face all the time. And like, you got these boys coming out, blittered out of the clubs and all, freaking, you smell that? You know? And I used to say, Chris, take that smile off your face, you're going to get us murdered. You know? But he had beautiful feet, and he had a smile because he knew he had good news to tell people, and he wanted to tell people. And it should be a delight for us to bring others good news about Jesus. But what should be a delight can often feel like drudgery, like we're walking through wet blankets as we try to walk through the sludge of this world. But if we press ourselves into God, and if we learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, things can be very different indeed. And we'll see an example of that now. If you turn, please, to Acts chapter 8. And this is just one example. There's many, many examples in the Bible of this, but this is one in particular that we're looking at this morning. Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 26, and I'll do this fast. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." It's verse 27 of chapter 8. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip, anybody knows anything about him? He was originally one of the seven people selected to actually meet the needs of the poor. There was a bit of an argument about the distribution of food and whatever else for the poor. And so the apostles decided, rather than them wasting time, if you want to say, taken away from the word of God, they would appoint seven people to take the responsibility of the distribution of goods to the poor and to make sure that it was done fairly. And Philip was one of the people selected to that. And even though, and this is really important, even though he knew that this was his ministry in the church in Jerusalem, he was not limited to this. and was used by God to go and tell others the good news about Jesus. And you have to understand here that this can be applied in our context today, because you might say, and this is not to pick on Jimmy here, but we'll just use Jimmy. Jimmy might say, it's my ministry to make the cup of tea. How poor would Jimmy be in heaven if all he did throughout his ministry and life was say, no, this is my ministry, I just make tea. And didn't do anything else, or never shared his testimony with anyone, or never talked to people about Jesus. Now I know Jimmy doesn't do this with his ministry, and I know that Jimmy has shared his testimony and done many wonderful things for the Lord. But imagine if you think you have a ministry in the church, and you limit yourself just to that. Then you are also limiting how God can use you. And Philip had been clearly chosen to be responsible with six others for the distribution of food to the poor. But he did not limit himself to this, and he was used by God to go and tell others the good news about Jesus. In fact, Philip became known not as Philip the distributor of food to the poor. He became known as Philip the evangelist. You see, our passage begins, I don't know if you've noticed, but our passage begins with an angel telling Philip exactly where he needed to go. Sometimes I wish an angel would come and tell half the people here exactly where to go. But you know, we rely upon God. Julie's only picked up on that one. We rely upon God to give us direction and whatever else. And I was looking to God recently for direction, and I couldn't find it, and I was getting fed up the back teeth, and I was saying to Billy and all this morning, you know, sometimes you get the point, why can't God just say yes or no? In the name of goodness, it's 2017. Why do we have to be put under all of this pressure and anxiety, whatever? Why can't he just say yes or no? And then a situation happened, and it was clearly a no. But he didn't say it at the time I wanted him to. And that's the difference, that... An angel came to Philip, it starts with, and says, go toward the south on the Jerusalem to Gaza road. He was absolutely specific. And sometimes, like I said to you, there can be suddenlies that will come into your life from God that are absolutely specific. And then there's other times where you're not sure and you've just got to have faith in God. Here, the angel is clear. Go toward the south on the Jerusalem road, on the Jerusalem to Gaza road. And so Philip went. Now, traveling along this road was a very important Ethiopian man, responsible for the treasury of Candace, Queen of Ethiopia. I mean, this was a bigwig in society. And he was coming along in his chariot. Now, I believe he must have been a devout Jew, as he traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple. And now he was returning home. And here's a wee aside here just about Ethiopian tribework, Ethiopian Jew. It's only a matter of like 10 years ago, probably less, where there was a serious famine in Ethiopia. And Israel was made aware that there were many Ethiopian Jews living there. And now this is like a couple of thousand years later, there are Ethiopian Jews living in Ethiopia, and many of them were dying. And Israel just chartered all their planes and sent them across and took the whole lot of them and brought them back to Israel. But that was also God fulfilling a prophecy that from the north, south, east, and west, he would be bringing his people home. But they just went and got them. No messing about. And so here was this Ethiopian. You know, somewhere down that road, relatives of his, Israel picked up out of the famine. But here he was on his way home, having worshipped God in the temple. As I said, he must have been a very devout Jew, traveling that distance to praise and worship the Lord. And he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah 53, verses 78. Now we read, rather than an angel directing Philip, we're told the Spirit told him to go and overtake the chariot. Now, just before anybody thinks, oh, what's happening here? You know, does the angel head back up to heaven and the Holy Spirit has suddenly taken control? The writer to the Hebrews calls angels ministering spirits. So whether, you know, at first the direction given was an angel, and now the Holy Spirit is directing Philip, I don't know, but whatever, Philip went and overtook the chariot, and he heard the man reading and asked him if he understood what he read. And the Ethiopian man said, well, look, how can I unless someone guides me. And you wonder, you know, how many times, maybe before people became Christians, they tried to read the Bible. And it was nonsense to them. It made no sense whatsoever. In fact, even as a Christian now, you might struggle. I'm sure you do struggle with certain parts of the Bible when you're reading it. You think, how am I going to understand this unless someone guides me? And thank God that we have the Holy Spirit who reveals and sheds light upon the Word. This man was clear. How can I understand unless someone guides me? And so he invited Philip into his chariot, and we're told Philip preached Jesus to him. He didn't preach his views on the passage. He preached Jesus to them. And when they came to water, the man said, "What hinders me? In light of what you have just said, in light of you making known to me that Isaiah is speaking here of Jesus, in light of all of this, what hinders me from getting baptized?" Let me ask you this morning, if you're a Christian and you're not yet baptized, what hinders you? What prevents you from being baptized? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, what hinders you from being baptized? Well, Philip said to the man, "If you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized." To which the man replied, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." See how simple this is? He preached Jesus and he says, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God." And Philip and the man went down into the water. This was into the water. There's no infant baptism here. They went into the water where Philip baptized him. And after this, we're told, the Spirit caught Philip away. Anybody who believes in the rapture, about the church going to be caught away, this is exactly the same word that's being used here. The Spirit caught Philip away, and the Ethiopian saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. In fact, Philip was seen in a place called Azotus, some miles away, preaching in all the cities. Now, what exactly happened, I don't know. But he was suddenly taken away from the presence of the Ethiopian, and he was found miles away preaching Jesus to others. How beautiful were the feet of Philip. Directed by an angel to meet the Ethiopian man, then the Spirit guides him. And once the Ethiopian is saved and baptized, the Spirit raptures Philip away to Azotus to tell others about Jesus. You see, he didn't limit himself to, "I'm just a food distributor in the church of Jerusalem." He was open to be led by the Spirit of God. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Would you like to have been in Philip's boots? See, in this instance, the Lord had a divine appointment with the Ethiopian man returning home after worshipping the Lord in Jerusalem. And sometimes I think, the Lord, why can't you just do things simply? Like, when he was in the temple worshipping, would that have not been the place, you know, to make yourself known to him and to reveal yourself to him so that he could be saved? Would it not have made more sense for God to save the man while there? But obviously, God had his own plans. An angel then directed Philip, the person God had chosen, to meet the Ethiopian. And God put the Ethiopian and Philip in each other's paths. You know, I know from conversations with people here and then our Bible studies and people sharing different things how God just brought someone into someone's path. And you know, if you believe in coincidence, think, what a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. More happenstance. How God happened to bring people together so that he could share something of his love with individuals. And here God put the Ethiopian and Philip in each other's paths. As I said earlier, Philip was one of seven people selected by the church in Jerusalem to help with the distribution of food, etc., to those Christians in need. And during an early persecution of the church, the believers were scattered all over the place. And Philip, you can read, went to Samaria and preached there, and multitudes became believers. You see, when he lost his ministry, if you want to call it that, when the persecution came and the Christians had to scatter, he was no longer the food distributor. But he didn't sort of take the boots off and tie them up. He kept his boots on his feet and said, "Here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, send me." And God sent them to Samaria, where he preached Jesus, and multitudes, we're told, multitudes became believers. You see, this was a man who refused to limit himself or God to simple food distribution. He knew God could use him, and he offered himself in service to the Lord. How are you limiting yourself this morning? Because how you are limiting yourself this morning is how you are limiting God's use of you. "Oh, I'm too old. There's no way that God's going to use me." Moses was 80. Aaron, I think, was 83 or 84. How are you limiting God this morning? "Oh, there's no likelihood that God's going to use me because I haven't got my life all sorted out and I've got problems in my life." Every one of us do. How are you limiting God? And are you prepared to say, "Lord, I want to serve you without limits"? Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I want to serve you with no strings attached. I want to give myself completely to you. No terms and conditions apply. Philip was open to be used by God to go where God wanted him to go and to say and do what God required of him. You see, Philip believed in the much more God. And by that I mean that God has always got much more for each of us. Do not limit God by putting yourself in a pigeonhole of a ministry and saying, "This is all that I can do for God. I can only read out the Bible. I can only pick a song. I can only pray a prayer. I can only pray with the sick. I can only make tea. I can only, you know, clean the building." Do not limit yourself to these things. These things are all very, very important, and they're all wonderful things and service unto the Lord. But do not limit yourself to these, because if you limit yourself to these, you limit God. God has so much more for every one of us. We must never underestimate the providence of God. He knows exactly all that is happening and all that he is doing. And nor should we underestimate the plans God has for those of his children who are prepared to get their boots dirty in his service. God is always looking for people who, like Isaiah, can wholeheartedly say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And I believe that Philip was this sort of man. At whatever cost, he was prepared to get his boots dirty and make sure his feet were beautiful feet that bring good news. And how good was the news he brought to the Ethiopian, who, having heard what Philip said and believed him, immediately wanted to be baptized, and afterward, we're told, went on his way rejoicing. Now, let me tell you this morning, you might find this hard to believe, but I believe that this is 100% true. God has divine appointments booked for you. He already has a path marked out that will lead you to those whom he wants you to preach Jesus to and to tell them the good message of the gospel. We need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and follow his direction and guidance. We should not underestimate God's ability even to send an angel to give us direction in the way that the Lord wants us to go. God still uses angels. I believe in angels. I believe angels are the ministering spirits that God sends. I want you to go and speak to so-and-so. I want you to give direction to so-and-so. We have to be open. In Hebrews, the writer says, entertain strangers, because some have be hospitable to all people, for some have entertained strangers, or some have entertained angels unaware. Be hospitable to all people. Be open to all people, for some have entertained angels unaware. And I tell the story about the wee woman who was out in her garden who had been praying for years to the Lord. Lord, I want an angel. I want to see an angel. I want to see an angel. I want you to send an angel. I want you to bring an angel so that I can just see this, Lord. I want to serve you this way. And she was out working away in her garden this day and digging away and taking out the weeds and digging away and digging away. And she heard her doorbell going from a distance. And she went, oh, for goodness sake, I'm not answering it. And get on with her garden. And the Lord said, about 5 minutes later, that was your angel. You got to be open to what the Spirit of God is saying. So listen, Christian. What sort of boots are you wearing? You have good news to tell. See, when he says preach Jesus, that doesn't mean come up with all the scriptures and rhyme them off. Preach Jesus can be simply telling people what Jesus has done for you. Telling them about his death and how through his death he brings life to any who will believe. It's not about rhyming off and having to know, well, if there's a really important scripture being read out, that you know the interpretation of that scripture. It's about gossiping the gospel. Telling people what Jesus has done. Gary gossiped Jesus on Thursday at Abbey View Nursing Home, telling the old people who were gathered there of how the Lord rescued him. That's preaching Jesus. That's telling people the good news. So what sort of boots are you wearing? You have good news to tell, to herald, to proclaim. But are you afraid that you might get your boots dirty? Ach, I'll just leave the dirty work of evangelism to others. They can do it better than me. Or do you have boots that are weighed down, clogged with the muck of the world and the filth and the stench of the war trenches in which we serve, that you struggle to make any headway whatsoever in service to the Lord? Let me tell you, God has divine appointments for you. People, he wants you to tell his good message of salvation to. Therefore, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Your feet, Christian, are supposed to be beautiful feet that bring good news. It's your feet that God wants to use. When Paul says, offer the members of your body, that means every part of yourself, offer them all to God as instruments of righteousness. He says, offer yourself to God, to go wherever God wants you to go, to do whatever God wants you to do, and to say whatever God wants you to say. Like Philip, have faith in God and allow God to use you to preach Jesus to others. Is there someone, I'm not going to make anybody feel condemned here, but is there someone, and they'll flash into your mind immediately if there is there someone or some people you know that God has been telling you to speak to, but you haven't done it yet? You've got beautiful feet, and you've got a beautiful message to proclaim. Go and tell them, and trust in the Holy Spirit and see what he will do. As I said, like Philip, have faith in God and allow God to use you to preach Jesus to others. Maybe this morning there's someone here and they're not yet a Christian, or maybe somebody listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. I wonder how many beautiful feet the Lord has put in your path over your lifetime to tell you the good message that there's forgiveness of sin for you through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Those feet that brought you the good news were God's divine appointments with you. And I just hope that you're not going to always ignore God's appointments and ignore what God is trying to tell you. Repent, the Bible says. Change the way you think. Change your mind. Turn around and believe the good news so that you, just like the Ethiopian, may receive it, believe it, and be baptized and go on your way rejoicing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you that every one of your children have beautiful feet, corns and all, ingrown toenails and all. They're still beautiful feet, Lord God, because you have given us a beautiful message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, that there is forgiveness with you for all who will come to you through Jesus. Lord, thank you for this good news, and thank you for the beautiful feet and the boots, Lord God, that you give us to wear as we go through the trenches of the warfare in which we serve. And may we delight to tell others of Jesus. May we delight to preach Jesus to those who need to hear. Holy Spirit, again this morning, I ask you, please, lead every one of us who are willing to the divine appointments that our Father has for us, and give us the boldness to say what you want us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll stand aside.